Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. And today we are discussing the topic of tips and challenges for a successful lease-up. Joining me in the studio is my good friend Peter Remes, Vice President of Client Relations with Apartment Life, and also joining us by phone from Virginia is Caroline Forehand, Principal with Highview Investments. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining the show today.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit for our listeners and break it down to its simplest element. Caroline, why don't you define what a lease up is?
It's typically I've done lease ups and repositionings, and a lease up is, you know, starting from scratch where you develop the property, and my job has been to lease it up at the highest rent with little to no delinquency or vacancy loss or concessions. And so that's been what I've done a lot of my career.
And so a lease up, and you mentioned repositioning. Let's talk a little bit about the difference between, I guess, a new property that's a lease up and a repositioning. What's the difference?
The difference is a repositioning is a property that existed already, maybe 5 to 10 years old, and an owner wants to go in and invest money in redoing the kitchens and the bath, and then raising rents, and then redoing the common area. So that's repositioning.
And Peter, I know you've been involved in some lease-ups in your career. What cities were you in when you did that?
So I was in the North Atlantic region, and actually the very first property that we launched in the Philadelphia market was a lease-up with Jefferson Apartment Group. So. Yeah, it's probably one of the most challenging aspects of the multifamily industry when you think of taking on a brand new development that has zero tenants and trying to stabilize that property as quickly as possible. It is, on many different levels, a challenge for property management companies and owners.
Yeah, and I would imagine that the pro forma that the owner has regarding what their expectations are on return on their investment and when they hit certain milestones and goals is something that is shared with the people involved in it, but can be difficult or tough to meet based on what the real conditions are.
Yes.
Out there.
That's very true.
Yeah. Caroline, I don't know if you found this to be true, but in talking with folks in the industry over the years, I've found that sometimes owners, when they buy into a property, they have a pro forma that may or may not be realistic, or maybe the situation and the climate, financial climate, or the leasing climate has changed in that market while the property was being built, but yet they still hold on to those performers and projections and have high expectations when sometimes it just can't be reached. Have you come across any of that?
Yes, I have. I've opened several hundred brand new lease ups, so I've definitely dealt with that. And that's one of the reasons I consult, is because I've learned some very creative ways to overcome those obstacles, because it happens. It's happened to me, of course. It's happened in several lease-ups that I've done. And I've worked with several hundred very creative on-site team members, regional property managers, regional marketing managers, and learned a lot over my career. I mean, I started doing lease-ups 38 years ago, and I've done a lot of them in a lot of different markets across the country. And I think that's where the value is when you learn from other people, the knowledge that other people have and trying new things, you really get to understand what works best. And that's what I like to share with my consulting company.
Well, Peter, when we were talking about putting this show together, this particular episode together, and he says, I've got the perfect guest for lease-up. Caroline Forehand is the lease-up guru. You really, truly are. I mean, you've been doing it for 38 years. You've got a lot of knowledge that you can share with our listeners, who are, I'm sure, excited to know more. about some of the tips and tricks they can learn. Let's just take a basic one. When you have a lease up and you're getting ready to get started with it, what are some of the things that you look for?
That's a great question. I just not too long ago did a lease up in a market that was pretty saturated, and the rents were pretty low in that market, much lower than what the pro forma was for the community that we opened. Granted, the community we opened was absolutely gorgeous, but also the ownership group had opened a property right across the street and sold it to another company, so we were in direct competition with the property we had already built and already leased up. So we did some amazing things. I mean, we had a lot of activities. We had a lot of resident activities, which brought a lot of residents, friends of residents, to the community. And once they saw the community, it was a beautiful luxury community. We had a lot of luck with that. We looked at rents every single week and decided to raise floor plans that were most popular. And we did that every week. I'm not sure if everyone does that in a lease-up, but it really helped us to get the optimum rent for each unit type. And sometimes we didn't meet the goal, for example, in maybe a one-bedroom den. We were a little bit under what the projection was, but we made it up in another floor plan. So as long as we met the performance across the property, it really helped.
Yeah, and I have had a guest on who has done a similar thing that you had mentioned regarding raising the rent each week until they find out what the ceiling is, and then they keep it at that ceiling. That's a great tip and a great technique. Hopefully people will use. Peter, from your standpoint, apartment life builds community, and creates that neighborhood in the apartment community itself, which sometimes apartments have a bad rap because they say you can live in an apartment and never know who your next door neighbor is. So how does that help to stabilize and help in the efforts to get a lease up where it needs to go?
That's a great question. Yeah, there was a study done by Ron Witten Associates National Study, and it pointed out that 57% of apartment residents have zero friends living in the apartment community that they're living in. And so what we try to do is create a sense of neighborhood by doing the community events and also just living life with our neighbors, being that outrageous couple who lives in the community and welcomes new residents. So, 15% of our current communities, we have close to 500 communities nationally, 15% are lease-up properties. Mm-hmm. Because, let's face it, during lease-up, and I think Carolyn can attest to this, the management staff is just so stressed out, just trying to get stabilized and get leases signed, that they don't have as much time or bandwidth to do all the other things that are going to keep and build community. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we've been able to come in and kind of help the management staff work in partnership with them to really be that neighbor in the community and also be getting a lot of positive and negative feedback from the neighbors so things can be resolved early on in the life of the property.
Yeah, you mentioned that 15% of the properties that you have your teams living on are lease-ups. But I would imagine that other 85%, the managers of those properties probably don't have time to do the things to build community and probably are not experts at it.
Yeah.
Which is where you guys come in.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's an important thing, is building that community on a property that may be sitting empty or is still being built out helps to with referrals, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. Go ahead, Carolyn.
I just wanted to share that I was talking with someone at NAA the other week or two ago, and a manager I've known for years, and she said that she's on a small property, 220 units, and there's three of them, and they've been in lease-up, and they've not gotten over 88, and they've been in lease-up for 18 months. Mm. And she said they have a breakfast for the residents at the owner's request every morning. And they're too busy running out to get stuff and catering for the breakfast that they're missing calls and not able to, and most of the time there's only two people there because you have to give people their days off. So I mentioned about the apartment life program, and she thought it would be the reason they would go from 88% occupied to 96, 97 or higher, because it would give them time to follow up on customers.
Sure. Yeah. And that makes sense. I mean, there's only a limited amount of time, and especially in a lease-up, as you said, Peter, there's there's so much to do.
Yeah, and just one of the things that you had mentioned earlier, Paul, or that Carolyn mentioned, was repositioning or value add. When a company buys a community and is trying to take it from a B to an A or a C to a B property, again, that's a very challenging time for the property management staff. And if you can build community during that time, you can get people over the hurdles of construction and everything else that goes into a repositioned property.
All right, well, we're going to take a break. We've got three more segments to talk about tips and challenges for a successful lease-up. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of tips and challenges for a successful lease-up. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is my good friend Peter Remes, Vice President of Client Relations with Apartment Life, and also joining us by phone from Virginia is Caroline Forehand, Principal with Highview Investments. I do want to take a moment and remind our guests that if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Caroline, we've been talking about what a successful lease-up is, and you mentioned in the last segment someone who's having a problem, they could only get to 80-some-odd percent after 18 months, which would not, I think, be considered successful in some people's eyes. What is the time period that would be acceptable in most owners' and investors' eyes for a successful lease-up?
That's a great question. I would tell you that at 12 months to 18 months to stabilize a property in the 90s is really important. Sometimes owners will be okay with, or investors will be okay with 18 months or more, depending on how fast the rents are being raised. Like if you're at 18 months and you're raising rents each week, they might be okay with not being 96% or 95%. So it can linger longer depending on how well your rents are raising, but typically between 12 and 18 months. But to stabilize, which is around 93 physically occupied, 95 leased.
What other tips that our listeners can benefit from regarding when you're starting up with a new property or lease up or a repositioning, can you give to them?
Right. One of the things that I've done in my career, and I work with a lot of really talented people, is we worked months in advance in getting ready for the property. We would put up a sign that had a toll-free number that people could leave their email address or phone number, or we could text message them an update every week or every month about where we were at in the process of building. So we built that interest group really early on, and that really gives you a great base for potential customers. So I think starting out early in the process, I also had a lease up that was so much further and so much higher in rent. We had to have a really great team that understood the value of the property and sold every amenity and what that value is. So I think your team having all of the knowledge in what they're selling is really important too. Like, if you know, people have a gym membership, we've got a state-of-the-art gym, and that's going to save you this amount of money each month. And we have a package room, so you don't have to be home to get your packages. Whatever the value or amenity they have, is knowing that and making sure the staff is engaged in selling that.
Yeah,
that, a couple things.
Yeah, that definitely is important. When you have a brand new property that's a lease up, and you'd mentioned the putting the sign up where people could call a number. How far along are you able to answer questions at that time to them when they call, as far as, you know, what the rents are going to be, or, you know, the, you know, anything
at that point when we first put it up, we're putting it up for interest and to put people on a list to refer back to. And also we want to get them engaged and, hey, you know, we're 4 months out from, you know, opening our first unit. So it's to create an interest group at first.
Okay.
And then we have typically hire some on-site team members in advance and put them in an office nearby or something like that. And then they start really focusing on getting people excited about the property, telling them more about the property, and getting all their contact information. And by then we have a price range, typically. And so as we get closer, we get people more excited. We'll invite people to a groundbreaking. We'll invite them to the grand opening, and just keep in contact with them.
You know, I'm going to mention what is considered a dirty word by many people in the apartment community, and that's concessions. I've talked to owners over the years and in different markets where there's a lot of new construction going on. New properties that are being built in a particular submarket, they're dreading the fact that they may have to offer concessions. But inevitably, you know, you'll see one property start the ball rolling, and then other people start following in line. What have you found is the reasons to offer concessions if necessary, and also, how far do you go?
That's a great question. There's several things that you can do before you even have to get to that point. And I'll give some of my trade secrets here. I would tell you that if you have a call center, and there are some that are great and others that are not as great, but they will make appointments or they will give information about the property way in advance. You just give them exactly what you want them to say. And they really, they could call from California to Virginia, and the time may be 9 o'clock in California and the office is closed in Virginia. But having a call center that handles your calls helps the leasing staff and even the people that are following up on the calls from the office side. It gives them more time to do their job, and you don't miss any inquiry, anybody that's interested. So that's one thing I would totally recommend on a lease up, because you're spending advertising dollars, and I usually send them earlier on, and so the earlier on that you start advertising, the more interest list you create, and the more inquiries you get, and the faster the lease up goes. So that's one thing I've done with every lease up pretty much for years. And the other thing is with concessions, there are times when you have to offer something on select unit types, but I'm not a believer in just offering it blanketly. Mm-hmm. It should be something that you talk to the customer about and say, we have a great special select on certain units today if you deposit, not a blanket concession across the board for weeks at a time. Because, one, you're giving away too much money if you do that, and two, there's no sense of urgency for someone to lease. So I'd say if you have to offer them at all, limited time, and select units.
Yeah. So and the select units, might be ones that are a little bit more difficult to lease?
Yes, yes.
You know, Carolyn, I was also thinking one of the challenges with lease-ups is that you sometimes have to offer concessions in the beginning, but when residents come back to renew their lease, you know, there's no longer the concession, and it's often a reason for them moving to the, you know, apartment that's down the road that's $100 less because there's no longer a concession. What do you do to kind of keep from having to continue those concessions? What I'm thinking is shutting the back door when leases come up for renewal.
Absolutely. I can give the story of Realm Patterson. I had a property when I was with Bainbridge, and I was sent there to get the occupancy up from 92 to 96 because the property was going on the market, and they wanted it in 4 weeks. I had 4 weeks to get it to 96, and it was trending, you know, below 90, just below 92. And when I went there, I didn't know about the apartment life program, and I went there and I started asking questions. I did callbacks with the site team, of course. I called back prospects, and we got two leases. But I started to ask questions about why we had so many notices. One, we were raising rents 6% and 7%, which was wonderful for our company to put in a position to sell it for a good price. But the other thing was people were staying. I mean, a lot of people were not giving notice, considering how many renewals we had. So I asked the question, why are these people moving? And one of the answers I got was, well, that apartment's non-renewed because we have an apartment life team there. We want to rent the apartment. And so I asked what the apartment life team was about, and they told me about all these wonderful programs that they had, like Saturday morning, once a month, pancake breakfast, and a yappy hour every Tuesday evening at the dog park, and a wine and cheese party on Thursday nights. And they had kids hours. They had a Saturday morning movie hour once a month so the kids could come to the clubhouse and watch a Disney movie, but things like that. And so I said to myself, I'm like, well, that sounds like we shouldn't be non-renewing them, because this was a lease up. They had had this team of people on the property since the beginning. People had actually leased there because friends had brought friends to the property. And so I asked the owner if I could cancel the notice, and he allowed me to do that. Well, I went to the apartment life team and asked them if they would renew, and they said yes. And then they went to some of the other residents that had given notice, and they got people to cancel their notice because everybody was like a big, tight-knit community there. And I learned that for the first time what apartment life was by asking the question, why are these people moving? But anyway, the property went on the market, and it sold for much more than they expected. And I really feel like it had a lot to do with the apartment life team. So I would say that, you know, I think that held off concessions as well. And I think we got higher rents because we had so many activities for the residents.
Wow. That's a great testimonial for Peter for apartment life. We got to take a break. We're going to be back with our third segment after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal?
Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we are back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of tips and challenges for a successful lease-up. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is my good friend Peter Remes, Vice President of Client Relations with Apartment Life, and also joining us by phone from Virginia is Caroline Forehand, Principal with Highview Investments. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rasa Floors, the professional flooring advisors, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. Caroline, how important, when you're dealing with a lease-up, is the, I guess, the reviews that you get, as well as social media presence? How important is that?
That's extremely important because it tells the story of, you know, the demographics of your property, what socially is going on. And it also is really important to build that sense of community early on. And one of the stories I can share that happened to me is I was consulting a customer, a client, and I was looking at reviews, and some of the reviews just said, you know, thank you for your feedback, and didn't go into anything more. So I think elaborating more on reviews and ratings is really important. And I'll give one example. I was consulting a company that had reviews that were bad, just basically about the apartment grills were not working properly, I guess, in the beginning of the lease up. And months went by, and people were complaining that the grills were breaking, and I guess there was a problem with them. And at any rate, I mentioned it to the regional property manager, and she said to me, well, that was fixed. They not only fixed them, they got extra parts, and they actually added more grills to counteract all that. And I said, well, you need to go on all of those reviews that people commented and say, thank you for your feedback. Here's what we've done. And so I think sometimes we don't go back to older reviews and say, hey, we listened to you. Here's something we did to combat it and brag about what we've done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I think that's important, is just staying up with reviews. And I know Modern Methods is a great program for properties to get people socially engaged in social media. They provide a gift card for people that, you know, that communicate our brand to other people on their social media. And it's a great program. You can even have your own, but it's very important, especially on a lease up, to be very socially engaged. The other thing I would say is you have to be very careful about, you know, not addressing things quickly, because if you don't address something on a ratings website, it can snowball on you. So I'm sure that the things that some people understand, but just doing bragging about yourself, and when somebody compliments the property, make sure that you ask them for a review.
You know, in the Philadelphia property at Valley Forge, the ownership actually hired a social media consultant. Mm-hmm. And our teams were doing events both on site but also off site, where they would invite, you know, their residents were encouraged to invite their fellow employees and people that they knew to come to the off site events. Well, the team would actually forward pictures of the event to the social media consultant. And usually within 12 hours, that consultant would have all the pictures of the event posted on their Facebook site and all the other vehicles they were using to really get the message out to the greater community. So, and we would also get the, wherever they were having the venue at, like the restaurant, they would be doing cross-linking. So that link would also appear on the restaurant's Facebook site and webpage. So it really just helped drive awareness and a lot of traffic to the leasing office.
You know, Caroline, I'm a dinosaur. I've been around a long time. And when I started in the business, there was no such thing as obviously social media or the internet or anything like that. How has the industry changed, and are there people? Is everybody keeping up with that?
That's a great question. I've worked in a few local companies and a few national companies for a good period of time with each one, and I can tell you that it's definitely more on people's plates today than there ever has been, because there's so many so many things out there, so many websites that you have to keep up with, and so much social media. And there are some, like I mentioned, Modern Messenger, but there's several options with other companies to help keep that off of the leasing team's plate, mm-hmm. That are automated. And that's why I mentioned a call center, because a call center, you don't miss a call from an important, you know, customer, because you have somebody that's got your back if you're doing a tour. It's not unusual for people to do a tour with five or six people at one time on a lease up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody wants to see, especially when they open. So giving the site team more time is really important. There's things out there like Modern Messenger and call centers that will give them more time to service the customer. I used a call center on a lease up that won two lease ups, actually, that won awards one year. They won one lease up one, and the next year another one did. And I promise you, it's because the site teams had more time to handle the customers, that their lease up pace was the highest in their market. And so at Bainbridge, they won 2 years in a row to different properties.
You know, you just reminded me at this community. I keep referring to this Philadelphia property because it was such a successful lease up, but they used to purposefully do the events on site on Saturdays when all the leasing traffic would be coming right through. So the leasing agents would actually bring them into the community room to share in some of the fun, because, you know, again, it's another reason for them to move into that community. Mm-hmm. They could already see the sense of community and neighborhood that was happening there.
Caroline,
that's great.
I was going to mention to you, you know, we've had a guest on the show before who has been around a while, and we were talking about before internet, before all that happened, you know, what would get drive your traffic to your community was you go to a grocery store and you pick up a magazine that mm-hmm. all the communities advertised in. And one of the complaints they had about today's technology is that someone can go online, look at a property, research a property online, and already make the decision not to go visit the property. So they have no idea how many lost opportunities of people coming to the property that could have come to the property, never made it there. And in saying that, they were making the point that that's why your online presence, whether it's fixing reviews that weren't favorable, or, you know, answering reviews that weren't favorable, or just making sure that you've got the latest and greatest photos out there on your website or in social media, is so important. How have you seen that develop?
That is a great point. One of the things that a call center that I used in the past does is they will respond to e-lead emails within 7 to 10 minutes, because you lose 50% of your ability to convert them to a visit after 7 to 10 minutes. So it's really important. So again, that keeps it off the staff's plate. They're answering them within minutes of their inquiry, so they're capturing them when they're the most sold on the property. And then the other thing about websites is a very good point. People are three times more likely to go into a website if there's water in the picture, the first picture. And that was something the National Apartment Association did a study several years ago. And there was a whole bunch of bullet points about what that result was. But I remember that was one of the major things, that people are three times more likely to delve into your website if you have water in the first picture. It could be a fountain nearby. It doesn't. If you don't have a pool, it can be a beach nearby, a lake. But that really, and I believe that's true, because I've always put a water picture as the first one, and we've always had really good traffic. So.
Yeah, I mean, that explains why whenever I go to a website for a community, I'll see their pool or their fountain or a lake if they're positioned on a lake, whatever. That certainly makes sense. You know, one of the things that you've mentioned, and we may go a little bit over this segment, but one of the things that you mentioned is using these different companies to for call centers or for answering emails or whatever it might be. What kind of pushback do you get or do you get pushback from owners saying, well, that's just money that our, you know, that's something our staff could do that's on site?
Beth, I've had to deal with this for almost my whole career because I started using call centers back when they first started having them. So, yeah. It's very easy with an owner. It's harder with an on-site staff because they want to critique the call. But the point is, no one's going to do a better job at answering the call than somebody who's already engaged on the property. But the reality is, even if you had everybody there and you hired extra people, you can't answer calls at night. And people are on their phones inquiring, 24/7 all over the country. So it's not even about, whether you want to pay the amount. It's usually one lease a month cost. And so the value is to an owner is really there, especially on a lease up. I mean, one lease could be a $2,500 lease, a month.
Right.
So for an owner, that makes total sense. I think it's more about, and just like other things, on-site teams want to budget the money the way they want to. And some people may not be knowledgeable about call centers or knowledgeable about modern messenger and some other things, e-blasts and things like that. So, but if you and a lot of these people, especially with call centers, understand the value of what they do, and usually they can explain that to the right person. And when you equate it to leases and occupancy, it's really easy to understand.
Okay, great. Well, we are going to be back after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of tips and challenges for a successful lease-up. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio is my good friend Peter Remes, Vice President of Client Relations with Apartment Life, and also joining us by phone from Virginia is Caroline Forehand, Principal with Highview Investments. In the last segment, Caroline, we were talking about the pushback that you may get from owners, and you had even mentioned on-site staff regarding farming out some of these responsibilities from the on-site staff because they don't have time, they're not as adept at it, whatever it might be. And how do you justify? How do you combat that? That's what I want our listeners to hear is what's the justification for it?
That's a great point. Yeah, in lease-ups, what happens is because people are hired for lease-ups, they're some of the most talented people in the industry. I mean, people that have leased for years or have high energy and things like that, and they want to be in control of doing all of these things because they care so much about getting the lease-up done right? Mm-hmm. So it is hard sometimes to get a site team to understand that, hey, I know you can do this great, but we need you to focus on doing callbacks at 8 o'clock in the morning, bring donuts in and do callbacks with your team so you can make lots of appointments, because that's when people are commuting and you'll be able to talk to people. And the same thing in the evening, you know, doing callbacks from 5 to 7 in the evening when people are commuting, so you can talk to them on the phone or texting at that time, so it's fresh in their mind when they get home. So I say, you know, honestly, you know, don't be penny wise and pound foolish. You know, make sure that you're making the right decisions to take tasks off and off their plate that makes them more successful in closing the sale on site. And I think that's what makes owners happy is, you know, yes, the site team wants to do everything, but you don't want to skimp on, for example, apartment life team, because an apartment life team, when you have resident activities that are so robust in the very beginning for just the few that are starting to move in, the apartment life team will go visit office or will give them donuts and things to take to their the residents to take to their offices to share with, you know, with the name of the property on it. And you might have four or five people that are interested and, you know, a major employer that's nearby that people are getting the message that, hey, this is a great place to live. And apartment life can help you with that. The other thing is in lease-ups is, you know, making sure that you're getting the word out of all of the things that you offer, but engaging people on social media using things like Modern Messenger will really help too.
So I'm going to put you on the spot, Carolyn. Could an owner hire someone like you, have a basic, good operational management team on a lease-up that will be there once the property stabilizes, have a good basic leasing staff, and between your expertise and the expertise of the people you bring in, like Apartment Life and Modern Message and the call centers and so forth, can they have a successful lease up doing that? Or do they have to bring in those superstar leasing agents?
Actually, that's a great question. I'm working with clients right now that are in the midst of that. I mean, I'm working with that. They are picking up a lease up in the middle of a lease up because it's not been going well. And so, and they're going to need some staff because some of the people are going to stay with the management company and go to other properties. So in this situation, I'm helping with finding staff, and I'm also helping with what processes to put in place. And they may have a provider, for example, a call center they already use. That's no problem. Or they may not use call centers. And so, I can talk to them about the pros and cons, and they can make the decision. So I don't tell clients what they have to do. I just collaborate with the on-site team and rally around the team on-site and the regional and the marketing manager to help them succeed and maybe provide some insight that they haven't thought about.
Mm-hmm. The reason I ask that question is that I know several companies that are developers that develop new properties, and then, you know, they go through the lease up process and they'll bring in a superstar, you know, all-star leasing professional and a manager that specializes in lease ups, and they will get the property stabilized over whatever period of time, and then once they get to that stabilization point, they move those to another property and they bring in a regular, good, solid operational team and leasing staff. And I didn't know if that was necessary or if it was, if they didn't have access to those superstars, you know, could they do it with someone like your help as well as these outsourcing?
Right, exactly. Actually, there are companies out there that can bring in superstars. I myself have dealt with the training side. I was vice president of training and marketing in my past. And so I can tell you that you can absolutely, if you have someone that has the desire, you can train them to do it, to be a superstar leasing person. That's absolutely possible. But there are companies, and I've worked with some, where they brought in a superstar team. They did the lease up, and exactly what you said, they pulled them out. But that's not always possible. And it depends on the market. Some markets are being saturated with lease-ups. And also I found that sometimes, even if you've done lease-ups before, sometimes there's other things that you can add to make it go even better. And if you've only worked at one or two companies and you don't know some of those things, you might learn from somebody else outside of your organization.
Sure. Peter, the Apartment Life actually hosted an event at the National Apartment Association conference that was just recently held in Denver. Mm-hmm. And it was at a lease-up property.
Yep.
And beautiful property. I was actually able to attend. And what was interesting was that I forgot, you can refresh my memory and those of our guests, our listeners, there was only like 10 or 11 residents or units that were leased at that time out of a pretty large high-rise property. But they were invited to the event.
Absolutely.
To come and join the event with big wigs from the apartment industry from all over the country. I thought that was very interesting, and some of them did actually attend.
Yeah, that particular property, Paul, was Lennar Multifamily, and it was their latest and greatest, the Radiant. And it was a magnificent property. And why wouldn't we invite the residents to come to a national industry event? Mm-hmm. Because the residents are the most important. They're our neighbors. And, fortunately, we have a team serving at that community right from the beginning. And that's, for us, that's always the best way, because these people become our friends, they become our neighbors, and it really builds that sense of community. So we wanted to use that opportunity to help build that neighborhood.
Yeah, let's take a few minutes and explain exactly what apartment life does, because to me, when I found out about it several years ago, I thought it was a very unique and fascinating proposition for the apartment industry.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. We're currently international now. We just moved into Canada. We have close to 500 communities that we serve. And if you've ever lived in a neighborhood that has that couple that organizes block parties, welcomes new residents to the community, kind of has the heartbeat of what's going on in the neighborhood. For lack of a better term, we call that the art of neighboring. And mm-hmm. and that's really what our teams do, is they move in and they're those people that model what it is to be a good neighbor, and as a result of that, it's kind of community grows organically. It's not something the team really has to work at. So they welcome new residents. They typically do 3 events per month, all different types of events, on-site, off-site. They do renewal visits towards the end of the lease to determine whether the resident is going to renew or if there's an issue that can be resolved. And last but not least, just community care, just mm-hmm. really loving neighbors and just, celebrating birthdays and great life events with them. So that's what we do. And again, we can really help with resident retention. If you have low occupancy, if you have online ratings that need help, all those areas are areas, pinpoints of where we can bring a significant return on investment.
And what's the commitment on behalf of the owner as far as to have you guys on?
So typically we're in communities that are over 200 units, and at 95% occupancy, you're going to have a lot of vacant units. So we'll take one of those vacant units that are not generating any revenue and monetize it by putting a team there that's going to bring value. So we look for a 2-bedroom, 2-bath unit. We have a monthly service fee, depending upon the area and the client that's charged, and that whatever your monthly event budget, typically about $1.50 per unit per month is what we work with. The team goes out and they do all the purchasing, preparation, setup, tear down, and of course, most importantly, connecting with their neighbors and connecting them with each other.
And I think one of the most unique things, and Caroline, you may have found this too, is the amount of information that your teams can gather that may never make it to the management staff.
Yeah.
They may not feel comfortable talking to management staff.
Oh,
about.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate in the industry. A lot of times managers find out that a resident has a complaint when they don't renew their lease.
Right.
So we can really be that sounding board.
Or it ends up on social media.
Yeah, or social media when they're so angry that they have the vein on their neck that's pumping like a garden hose, right? They're so upset. But yeah, typically we try to uncover those complaints because we're a neighbor and they feel comfortable sharing it with us.
Yeah. Well, Caroline, we got a couple of minutes left. Tell us a little bit about how you got into the industry and what you're doing now with Highview, and if someone wanted to reach you, how could they do it?
Okay. Got in the industry many years ago, right out of college. I was offered a leasing position because I was in sales. And I opened 13 lease-ups in 4 years in Dallas, Texas. And fast forward to 30-some years later, and I'm still doing lease-ups. So It's just been, I've worked with tons of people on lease-ups over my career, and I thought I knew a lot. And then 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I learned about apartment life, and I'm like, why didn't I have this, you know, back 30 years ago? It would have made my life easier. I just consult companies that have lease-ups or repositioning or maybe struggling with the occupancy on a property or not making the revenue or the NOI that it needs to. And I consult with owners and investors, people I've worked with in the past, and new clients to help them come up with a marketing plan and an outline of what they can do to affect results. It's sort of what I do.
Okay. So. And if somebody wanted to reach out to you, how could they find you?
My website, which is highviewconsultus.com. So.
Okay.
It just tells a little bit about my background, and really, the website is just there, you know, to say what I do. But I really am a collaborator with people in the multifamily industry to help affect results for them and make the on-site team's jobs easier.
Great. That's fantastic. Peter, someone wants to reach out to you in Apartment Life. How can they do it?
Yeah, obviously our website is www.apartmentlife.org, or my email address is my first name, Peter, last name Remes, R-E-M-M-E-S, at apartmentlife.org. If we're always looking for teams to serve in these communities and also obviously communities that we can serve and build a sense of neighborhood.
I know we're bumping up against the end, but I want to just give a quick description of what you look for in a team.
They have to be somewhat outgoing, know how to do events, and really have a passion for being that neighbor who models what it is to be a good neighbor.
And you use the term team because it's generally a couple.
It's generally a couple.
That does it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two teammates, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful. Well, this has been a fascinating show, a lot of good information. I know our listeners enjoyed it. I want to thank my guest, Peter Remes, as well as Caroline Forehan for joining us today. We will be back next Friday at 10 a.m. right here on 1110 a.m. KTEK with another power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.